That's right. It is that time once again. The wait is over. We're back for the Parish of the Patriots. Whatever brought you here, whether you're a once again return member of the congregation or whether it's your first time tuning, whatever has brought you here, I'm glad you're here. Look forward to this week's discussion. If you are new, we do have a Christian-specific segment that hits around the halfway mark of the show. Sometimes I do real good. Sometimes I do real good, and it's right at the halfway mark of the show. And other times it's not even close. So, you know, that's just kind of part of what makes it fun and exciting. It's not overly predictable. But look forward to that. Even if you don't consider yourself, you know, maybe a little bit backslidden in your faith, or you don't consider yourself a Christian believer at all, you might want to stick around for it. I think you'll get something out of it. But that is up to you. We do put it in its own section. So if you're just bound and determined that you don't want to hear any of that, you don't have to. You can enjoy the first part of the show all on your own. After that, I don't care what you do. It is. And this is the show. This is the show, and there's no other content anywhere that you pay for that's actually better. So if it's crappy, it's not going to get any better anywhere else. There's no hidden better content. It's either really good or really bad. What you get, what you see is what you get. I do ask that if you do get something out of it, if you do enjoy the show or you hear something that really helps you out, for whatever reason, we just pass the offering plate around and ask that you don't be shy. Put something in the plate. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is real appreciated, and it's really easy. Just go down to the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albin for the show, and you'll see the support info there. We've got snail mail. I don't care who you are, you know, maybe cryptocurrencies, especially with the news of the cryptocurrencies right now. You're like, I don't want to get anywhere near. I might buy my $20 worth of Bitcoin to send to Grandpa Dan. But what if I buy it and in the 2 seconds it takes me to send, what if it goes to zero? Then you'll send Grandpa Dan 5 cents or whatever it's worth, you know. But I understand. But look, we got snail mail. It don't get any easier. You can figure out how to fill out an envelope, but it is appreciated. Put something in the plate. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. Got a Monero address down there for those of you absolutely positively, you know, and understandably want to, you know, remain completely anonymous. Now we got Monero down there. We got email address down there for your notes, or if you got a different cryptocurrency, drop me a note. I can more than likely get you an address for that. I've been saying this here for a while back. I've had one or two people ask for like a non-public Bitcoin address. If you're one of those people, drop me a note so I can give you one, because I am moving wallets around. So just kind of housekeeping things. So drop me a note so I can give you a new address. So anyway, 195th installment of the show. We've done the whole pass the offering plate around. That means it's time for the listener supporter mailbag. Gramps, thank you for a great show you had recently on how important it is for us good Christians to strive for betterment in our spiritual lives and bear fruit thereof. It cannot be understated. I've listened to and heard other good men of God in podcasts and real life sermons, and perhaps you too sum it up as a simple question. Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? If you are, then this is a problem. God bless you, Gramps, and all you do. And that's from Jay. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the struggle never ends, as it were. But that doesn't mean, you know, what do I want to say? It doesn't mean we shouldn't be happy. You know, I mean, God doesn't want us to go around in life and be miserable, you know? You know, Christian people that are like that, you know, they think like the more miserable they are. You know, Jesus said that, like, you know, when you're fasting, you know, he's like, put oil on your head, you know, clean yourself up. Don't make a show of it. You know, well, hardly anybody fasts anymore, but the illustration holds true, because, you know, you got people, you know, Christian believers, probably known them before, that, you know, they make a big show of how miserable they are in life because they think it makes them more holy or something. You know, you should be happy with life. You know, if you're regular listeners to this show, y'all know I try to find all sorts of things to laugh at. Even here in clown world, even as bad as things are, I try to find, you know, some humor in things. God gave us a sense of humor. We were made in the image of the Lord. And so obviously the Lord has a sense of humor because we have a sense of humor. Anyway, yeah, no, I mean, this statement is right. But at the same time, we are always trying to grow. We're always struggling. We're always moving forward. And you're always going to be doing that in this life. But that having been said, God doesn't want you to be miserable. You know, I mean, just You know, yes, we go through the struggles, but, you know, enjoy life. You know, the Lord isn't going to hold it against you. Enjoy life. We want to be happy. We want to be happy. So GPD Clown World Experience, I wanted to pass along. I drove up to my drive-through ATM. And guess what? The ATM, I read this. You know, I look through these before I do the listener supported mailbag, and you know, because I want to see what people have to say, and I have to edit them down because sometimes, you know, people will send me like an 8-page monologue, you know, and I'm not reading all that shit, you know, and I have to kind of, you know, cut things down, you know, edit things down, you know, for time constraints and whatnot. But I do, I read through these. And I read through this one and I really did. I really got a good chuckle out of it because it's like, you're right. It didn't really dawn on me. Anyway, I drove up through my drive-through ATM and guess what? The ATM has Braille stamped on it. This is a drive-through. Now all we need is road signs in Braille. No joke. Have a great Thanksgiving. That's from Triangle Whip. And thank you, Triangle, for the chuckle because I didn't even think about that. And you're right because I when you said that, it never even dawned on me. I've seen that on mine. I've seen that on the ATM. Braille. You got another Braille. You might drive up there and need to feel. Just see some guy pulling up with the dark glasses on, the CNI dogs over in the passenger seat, and they reach out the window and they're feeling around. Real clown world. It's kind of like how they make everybody have all these wheelchair ramps to get in somewhere. You know, you get the wheelchair ramps. It's like you would think everybody in the country is in a wheelchair. You pull up to a store and the parking lot's packed and you see like 8 rows of empty spots and they're all these handicapped spots. It's like, you know, I think y'all are overestimating. It's kind of tiresome. It's kind of like how every time some politician or whoever is doing some speech, they got to have some sign language person up there, some sign. How many deaf people are there? Do they not know how to read lips? GPD Doe for the show, Mr. T. Thank you, Mr. T. Very much appreciated. Always Mr. T coming through for us every week. And finally, dear Grandpa Dan, writing to you from the state of Arizona, where as of Friday, they can... Whereas of Friday, they cannot count all of the votes because they keep finding more. Anyway, GOP isn't much better. I do think some of the younger ones are going more towards freedom. Hope all is well with you. I pray for you. I have 3 friends with cancer, and you are doing the best. They are both went for chemo. Well, God bless. And that's from Debbie. Well, I had made the decision early on that, you know, because I didn't know where this was going to go. I want to do no chemo. And everybody's got, I'm not criticizing people who do choose to do that. And I'm, you know, I'm not even saying it's a wrong decision, but I know I said it in my heart early on. I'm like, you know, I told, you know, my family and stuff, you know, before I ever had the first surgery, I'm like, you know, if they're going to try to sell me on chemo, they're going to have a hard sale. You know, you never want to say I'm absolutely not going to because, you know, something might change your mind, but I don't, you know, if the Lord says it's time, my time here is up, I'd rather not be really, really sick and miserable before my time here is up. I mean, you know, I'd like to think my faith would hold to the end where, you know, it's not, you know, it's time to move on to the next one. But anyway, thank you very much. And yes, I'm blessed that things are going so well on that front. And I hope they continue to do so well. Yes, they do. They have to continue with the vote counting. You know, it's amazing because, like I said last week, I remember not that long ago when you knew the results of the election, like that night, at the most the next morning, everybody, we knew. And back then, we were mostly doing all the voting on a paper ballot, and there were people sitting there literally counting ballots. And we were able to. We were able to do that, but not anymore. Now we're weeks out, and they just can't quite fit. They got to make it believable enough. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not allowed to spread election misinformation. In other words, you're not allowed to point out all the fraud that's going on. This system is a complete joke. It really is. It's just theater. You know, just see it. I was reading a story. That was reading a story before doing this show, I was reading this story, and it was about some Republican congressperson, and he was talking about all the investigations they're going to do, because of course they are. You know, because of course that's all Congress does anymore. They don't really, you know, they don't do anything to improve people's lives. They hold lots of hearings and pretend like they're the, you know, they're the judicial branch. Anyway, this congressman was making a big deal about how they're going to investigate the Joe Brandon and the Hunter Brandon and all of this. It's like, you know, I just tuned it out. Like I said, the GOP isn't really any better, and I don't know. Maybe in some ways they are. I don't really think they are, because they're the fake opposition. You know, I've been around long enough that it doesn't matter. Nothing changes. It's kabuki theater. It really is. It's kabuki theater. These guys are up there. I was thinking, it's just, you know, they look like they're fighting. You know, it's like a puppet show. Look like they're fighting, and that's all. I was thinking that it's coming up, you know, be Christmas real soon, you know, and you might be thinking about, y'all might be thinking about what kind of toys you're getting your kids, or perhaps your grandkids, depending on how old you are. Maybe little kids. You've got, probably got little kids listening to this. I don't know. Probably not age appropriate for little kids. Little too in depth. But I remember when I was a kid, you know, you had all these different games, and you always think of all these different toys that we had when we were kids. And one of the toys I remember, and who knows, they may still make it, I'm too lazy to look it up, but one of the toys I had when I was a little kid, I remember, it's called Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Y'all remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots? You had this plastic boxing ring thing, and you had these robots in there, and you had these controls on each side, and no, there wasn't no computer bullshit. There's just a piece of plastic connected to the bottom of the robot, and you moved the robot around. You had these buttons you pushed, and it was all fun and games, but after about 5 minutes, your thumbs were like, they tell some people now they got carpal tunnel syndrome from being on the computer. No, is if they did investigation, they'd probably find out all these people had Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's why their thumbs don't work anymore. They're blaming it on, oh, the computer job you got. But it's because when you was a kid, you had Rock'em Sock'em Robots because you had to push these buttons and made the robot's arms pop up. And of course, the head of the opposite robot was snapped on there. And if you hit it just right, if you hit the button just right and pop that other robot right on the chin, boom, his head would spring up like an inch or so. That meant you won. You hit your robot. It was kind of anticlimactic, if I'm being completely honest. You know, you're sitting there wearing your thumbs out one another, and you got sweat coming out, and you're sliding that robot around. Wearing your and then you finally get the hit in, and it's like, bing. Ha! But anyway, this has something to do with the topic at hand, believe it or not. Because one robot was red and one robot was blue. You see, this leg they were telling us. It's all just, old Republicans versus the Democrats. There's somebody on each end holding the controls, playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. There's nobody but playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And we all sitting there watching this shit. Like, you're back and forth. You're going to hit him on the head. That head going to spring up here in a minute. Just theater. Been around this. Every most importantest election ever. And the results are always the same. You get more of the same crap. The country keeps going in the same direction. You know? If of course, now we're in the age of just blatant open fraud now. And, you know, I mean, just, and what are the Republicans? They're all scared to come out and say, well, they're obviously cheating. Everybody knows they're cheating. Imagine being the ones that get cheated. And most of them are afraid to come out and say, wow, these are a bunch of this fraud. This whole system is wrecked with fraud. Can't do that. Didn't do it. Why? Because it's a game. You know? You look at these politicians, and it's like, oh, they lost their election. Look, don't y'all lose no sleep. They're not going to be forced to work for a living. Don't worry. Whichever congressperson, senator, governor, whoever the hell they're running for, don't worry. Whoever lost their election, whether they lose their seat in the Congress or whether they lose their bid for a seat in Congress or the governor, don't worry. There ain't a single one of these people, whether they're a blue Rock'em Sock'em Robot or a red Rock'em Sock'em Robot, ain't neither one of these robots going to have to go get a real job. Ain't none of these robots going to have to go out there and figure out how to earn a real living. They're going to wind up on the right corporate. This is the way it works. They're going to get on the right corporate board somewhere. They're going to get the speaking fees, engagements that they get. They'll get paid off. Don't worry. Don't worry. None of them going to, like y'all are worried. Ain't none of them going to have to work for a living. So don't worry. It's all theater. They may be upset because they wanted that position. They're going to have to take the consolation prize. Don't worry. The consolation prize is way the hell more than you or I are getting ever. They're going to do all right. They're going to do all right. The whole system is just tiresome. It's tiresome. You know, I saw a story the other day in Britain. My good friends over in Britain. There's another example. The Tories. The Tories do such a bang up job because Labour's awful. You vote for the Tories. And you get the same thing. It's the exact same system we have here. I mean, it's with some, you know, with some different particular, rules, like the way they do their parliament, because they do that whole thing where they stand up there and yell at each other, you know, and that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. We don't have that. We just have, like, I don't know, girl drama in our Congress. But other than that, it's the exact same system. I mean, you got Britain. I read this story over in Britain. They've imported so many quote-unquote migrants. I love they use that term, migrants. You live on a freaking island. How is anybody migrating there? You know? We used to have migrants here. We don't anymore. But we used to have migrants here, you know, many years ago. And they would migrate from Mexico. And they would migrate north and usually work in the fields or on ranches or whatever, some legally, some illegally. And then usually they would migrate back. They were kind of like ducks. They were kind of like geese. They were kind of like geese. You know, winter would come and they would migrate south back to Mexico. And then when harvest season come, they would migrate north and work the fields because they could work for 6 months, 4 to 6 months, and make enough money to live the other 4 to 6 months being off. It wasn't a bad deal. And then they would migrate back. Those are migrants. Britain is a freaking island. It's a bloody island. How are you going to have migrants? Are they swimming in there? No. They're coming on a boat. Who the hell's paying for the boats? We're never told. But that's not even the point. The point is, you ever notice, because in this story, I guess I could get to the story. In this story, they were saying that I guess now the cities are full. And you got to have more diversity everywhere because it's a rule. And now they're flooding little villages in Wales. There's a little village in Wales that had like a population, total population, like 400 people. And there's like one hotel in town. And they filled the hotel. The government came in, rented the hotel itself with your money and filled it with quote unquote migrants. And the people in the village are like, well, you brought in 200 migrants. In an island, you don't have migrants. You have to figure out another name for them, but they ain't migrants. And amazingly, they're all, you know, they don't even try. You never notice the media doesn't even try the women and children line anymore because it was just too hard for them to go find any to put in the camera shots. All these guys are like in their 20s. In other words, military age men. All these guys are like in their 20s, maybe 30s. They're bringing all these guys in here. And now they're filling up rural areas. You see, white people aren't allowed to have any place to hide. You're going to get more vibrancy and diversity. The thing is, the way the government, you know, the government's reaction to this there in Britain, you know, they set up their typical deal. You have one Tory MP sit up there and whine about it like he doesn't have any control over it, you know. But they say, well, we got to have a place to house these people. You see, no matter what, they act like you have to take these people in like infinity. You know, like that is the starting point. We have to take these people in. Now we're just going to argue over where to put them. That's how they always frame the argument. And this is the conservative party. They always frame the argument of, well, you know, these people are coming here no matter what. Where are we going to put them? We don't have anywhere else to put them. We have to put them in your one hotel in your little sleepy village, which is now, which has now become Pakistan. You see, we have to bring them here. We're running out of places to... You're not supposed to ever ask, well, why do we have to bring them here? You're not migrating here. You're bringing them on a boat. All the British voted for Brexit. How did that work out? Because let's be honest, the reason people voted for Brexit wasn't just like some vague thing of, you know, British independence. It's because they thought the politicians at the time were blaming the EU for all of these quote unquote migrants that they were bringing in. And people said, people accepted that and said, it's the EU's fault. It couldn't be the Tories because they're the Conservative Party. People voted for Brexit and then they drug their feet and we know how that all went. But they finally get Brexit. And you get the pound back. You don't have to use those bloody euros anymore. But guess what didn't change? You get infinity, quote unquote, migrants. We have no choice. What do we do? What do we do? We don't have nothing to do. You see, we've got the Tory rock'em sock'em robot against the Labour rock'em sock'em robot. And you get more infinity migrants forever. Nobody ever says, well, we're not taking them in. Yes, but you see, France will send them over here on a boat. What happened to the mighty British Navy? Oh, well, they're over there with the US doing exercises in the China Sea or on the Korean Peninsula, wherever the hell else. They can't find their way to the English Channel. Heaven forbid the mighty Royal Navy might stop, I don't know, boats coming from France. They've never done that before. What an outlandish idea. We could stop boats coming from France. No. Apologies for my crappy British accent, but it is. It's the same thing. Just show you got to take the migrants and we're running out of places to put them. But why do you have to take them in? You're not allowed to ask that. Because Britain has always been a nation of immigrants. It's like the rule. The rule is that no matter who you vote for, you got to have infinity non-whites come into your country. And people get awkward when you say that. You know, you have all these non-whites coming. Oh, there you go. Starting with the hatreds again. But it's not. It's not. They don't got no hatreds. You know, really, I mean, this is, it gets so tiring because people allow them to frame this, you know. Oh, that's just hatred. So you're talking about, you bitching about non-whites coming in these white countries, but it's not. I think India should be for Indian people. You know, I think Pakistan should be for the Pakistan people and so on and so forth. I think that's all great. See, I'm actually a big fan of diversity. I think it's interesting. You know, I just think white people ought to be allowed to have some countries of their own. Oh, everybody got awkward again. You're not allowed to say that. You see, white countries are the only ones that, you know, for some reason, it's a nation of immigrants or something, even though, you know, the history is it's a white country. Not allowed, not allowed to say that. To say, oh, you did some, that's hate. That's hate. No, it's not hate. If I said, if you were to say, I think you should wipe all the Indians out of India and white people should take that country over. And then it'd be India, new India, new white India. You could call, I don't know. You couldn't even call that hatred because that would be maybe more of quote unquote white supremacy because you just think white people are supreme and by that should just take over the whole world and every country should belong to white people and there shouldn't be any non-white people anywhere. I don't know anybody, by the way. I don't know of anybody that actually thinks that way. I don't know if anybody actually really goes through life thinking that that's what ought to happen. But it doesn't matter if you say white people should be able to have, you know, countries of their own. Especially since they're a tiny minority of the global population, then that's... It's not allowed. It's somehow classified as hatred for the color of the skin. Anyway, I'm not excited. I'm not excited about their politics. Because I'm not paying for the tickets to watch the theater, you know. I mean, now that they're doing the blatant fraud, I mean, voting was always just kind of, you know, questionable as far as if that was going to actually make any difference, you know. But now that they're just doing open fraud, they don't even care that everybody knows. I don't know. I mean, I'm not participating. I'm not buying a ticket. I've seen this show too many times. I don't care. But anyway, we do observe it. We do observe it. We're coming up here, you know, and in a couple of days here, it is going to be Thanksgiving. I always wind up, you know, missing holidays, you know. In other words, the Tuesday before, say, Thanksgiving, and it doesn't dawn on me. And then, like, the next week, Thanksgiving's already come and gone. And I'll start talking about, you know, being thankful or something. This week, I remembered. This year, I actually remembered. It's a couple of days. It's going to be Thanksgiving, and I hope that, you know, maybe you listen to this show while you're traveling to go see family and stuff. You know, I said this the other day. I said, you know, we used to, back in the day, we had family reunions and crap. Nobody does that anymore, but still, once in a while, like at events like Christmas and Thanksgiving, families do get together, and I hope that's the case for y'all. I hope that that you're able to go. Like I say, maybe listen to this great show while you're traveling down the road to go visit, I don't know, grandma or whatever, whoever you're going to visit. But, you know, we live in this crazy clown time when you have Braille on the drive-through ATM. We live in we live in this upside down world, and it is a good time. I do. I think it's a good time to, Thanksgiving is a good time to stop and just remember that you do have things to be thankful for. I ain't going to feed you the line of BS like they used to tell us. I don't know. Maybe they still tell people, you know, be thankful for your freedom, you know. I seen a sign the other day, you know, if you love your freedom, think a vet. I'm not talking about that kind of dopey ass Thanksgiving, because that's just bullshit. I'm talking about things to be really thankful for, you know. We get together on the show. I'm thankful for all of you. I really am. I am thankful for all of you that tune in and listen. This would be pointless if nobody tuned in. I am. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to sit here. I'm thankful to Sven Longshanks, Radio Albion, that we have a platform to get together here on, and for just absolute great content. And the other content on the network is all good, you know. You don't feel like you're surrounded by weirdos or something. We, you know, Sven and Matt Johnson, you know, these are good people. You know, I'm proud to be on here. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be on here. Look around in your life and things are going, you know, down the toilet in the world around us. We don't have any control over that, you know. And if you say, don't make yourself helpless. But I mean, that's the truth. We don't have any control over this. We don't get a say-so in this. We're not getting a vote on whether or not we're going to get World War III with Ukraine. You know, we're going to have a vote for gay anal war in the Donbass or whatever the hell. And we're not getting a say-so on that. We get to watch the Rock'em Sock'em robots go back. But at the end of the day, they're going to send some more billions to the Ukraine. That's the way it's going to go. But at the end of the day, hopefully, you've got food to eat. You know, you've got shelter over your head. And again, I hope some of y'all aren't so down on your luck that that's not the case. But, you know, you've got people. Hopefully you've got people in your life. You know, you've got your parents if they're alive, you know, and if your parents are still alive, be grateful for that. Be thankful for that, because they won't always be. And you might not, you know, you might not appreciate that till after they're gone. So you do want to be thankful for it now before they're gone, if you do have that opportunity. You know, for the thing, be thankful for the things you got around. Step back. You know, it's so easy. It is. It's so easy to get caught up. You know, I mean, I do this show, and I obviously keep up on happenings and politics and our culture and whatnot. But understand, I don't do that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things I'm interested in that don't have anything to do with the U.S. government or its policies or whatever the hell. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of more things I'm interested in and care about. And I hope that's the case for you. And be thankful for that. Be thankful for the things you've got. Because life goes on, you know. And we just be thankful for those other things, you know, that you're interested in, that you're able to do. If you've got your health, it always sounds like, you know, one of those cliche things. People say, well, you've got your health, you know. Your life may suck, but at least you got your health. And you're like, oh, yeah, I could stay here and suffer longer. But do be grateful if you do have your health. because when the day comes when you don't any longer, you wish you were more grateful for it back then. It's so easy to take it for granted. You know, if you're young, you've got your youth, be thankful for that. You don't realize how much grateful you are. You should be for your youth until you don't have any more. It's the way human nature works, I guess. You know, like they say, you don't know what you got till it's gone. It's like 6 million country songs with that theme. But you don't know what you got till you don't have it. Be grateful for your youth, because there comes a day when you're like me and like you wake up in the middle of the night because you slept on one side or the other too long and your wore out bad shoulder now is in so much pain that it wakes you up and only you're stuck. You know, you roll on your back. You're like a turtle. You're rolling around on your back trying to prop yourself up somehow. Because you can't use your arm because your shoulder's locked up because it's bad. Everything in there's wore out. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy your youth while you got it. Enjoy your youth while you got it. Enjoy your friends and your family and the things you got. You know, yeah, there's problems. Things are tough all over. But there's plenty of things to be thankful for. Like I say, and not the crappy notes. Be thankful for our troops. Be thankful for the youth. Thank you for this. You got the freedom that you live in America, buddy. You know, screw that fake patriotism bullshit. I don't know how to ever put that. That crap is so fake to me now. You know, piss on that. You got things, though. You do. You've got things to be thankful for. And to be grateful for in your life. And you do. You want to take a moment to reflect those things. Like I say, if you have the opportunity, you're spending Thanksgiving with your family, you know, sit around and just look around and say, you know what? It's cool. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but you know what? They're not going to hell in a handbasket right now around this table. We're all sitting here and we're all going to laugh and we're going to talk about that time we were kids and you know, we were, I don't know, jumping our bikes off the end of the sidewalk and thought that was so damn cool or whatever the hell. Yeah. People always talk about when Thanksgiving, I hate using that term, the holidays. I apologize for that. When Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything rolls around, you know, people always say, you know, you read these articles like, don't bring up politics at Thanksgiving with the family. And it's like, you know, there's so, I mean, it's fine. Like if your family basically, you know, agrees with you politically, I guess you can touch on that, but who wants to, you know, you got the whole rest of the year. There's other things. Hopefully I hope you've got other things you care, you're interested in, you know, other things to talk. If the only thing you've got to talk about is politics, you need more interest. You need some more hobbies. You need to find some other things in life so that when you hang out with your family at Thanksgiving, you can talk about those other things. If you go hang out with your family Thanksgiving, you ain't got nothing to talk about but politics, then you need to work on yourself. You need to get some more hobbies. You can go find some other things to do. Got to have some more interest, but don't talk about politics. Thanksgiving, Christmas, but hopefully you have other things you can talk about. Find some other things. Take the opportunity. Find some other things to do. I don't know, but there is. We got things to be grateful for. It can be hard to see sometimes, but we really do. So anyway, hopefully you'll have the time to reflect and to be thankful and be grateful. And hopefully you'll be able to have the opportunity to get together with your family. It's something you do, you know, family don't always get along, but it is something that while you can do it, you really need to take the opportunity to do it. Anyway, with that, I haven't been saying we're going to get off into the Christian specific segment this week. You know, it's looking at the clock. It's that time. We're actually going to hit it more or less at the mid part of the show. So without further ado, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. One of the recurring themes in our Christian-specific segment is this struggle. As Christian believers, a struggle within ourselves, a struggle against sin. And of course, this is one of the most relevant things for us in this life. I was saying about how this compares to, you know, they'll say that in Islam, some will say, well, jihad refers to actually, you know, a war within yourself, you know, the struggle within yourself. Obviously, like many of you, I'm pretty skeptical about the truthfulness behind it, but there is some truth there because it does apply. I mean, the real struggle is within ourselves for us, for Christian believers. If you can, the more you are able to overcome the struggles that you are having within yourself, within your own mind, within your own spirit, the more you're able to overcome these struggles, the less of a problem the things you are dealing with in life are going to be. In other words, the real fight is within yourself. You have all these external problems that are going on around you, but we know that those are all temporary because, you know, once you leave time, those aren't going to exist, no matter how big the problem is. This government is an absolute shit show, but it's not going to exist forever. It's not even going to exist forever in time. And it will cease to exist for us when we leave this temporal realm. All these things around us are temporary. So if we can overcome, the real challenge is to overcome these things within us, these struggles that we go through, these struggles to overcome these things within ourselves. And the more we're able to do that, the less of an imposing thing, the less of an intimidating thing are these external struggles. I think this will kind of make more sense as we go along. We're going to go ahead and jump in here onto our Bibles, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25. This is, of course, Paul writing here. We're going to go ahead and get into this and then kind of think about, you know, because Paul is focusing here on this very same topic, on this struggle within oneself. So we're in chapter 7, we're going to pick up at verse 21, take it to the end. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, you can go back and actually read the entirety of the chapter because it deals with this topic. I just took up the very last part. And because, like I say, the entirety of the chapter deals with this, you know, with this inward struggle. Now, one of the problems I kind of have with the way he illustrates this is it takes some understanding. If you do read the whole thing, I'll forewarn you. He's using an illustration of this struggle. The more I try to do good, the more I find evil there with me. You know, the more I strive, the more I want to be closer to God, it seems like the more I struggle with sin. Now, the problem I kind of have with the way he illustrates is, and I don't really have a problem with it because I understand it, but the problem I have with it as far as for like a lot of people trying to first grasp this and reading this and understanding it, is he uses the illustration. In other words, he externalizes the struggle. He sets it up as he is struggling against this external force, almost, you know, this force of sin. I mean, he says it's within his own members, it's in his own body, and fights this struggle. But we're going to kind of delve into this, and I think after that you'll be able to go back and read the entirety of chapter 7 and kind of really get more out of it as he does. He really focuses on the struggle. And let's be honest, this struggle we all go through, this is what this life is about. This life is about struggling and the things we go we deal with and as we try to grow and mature. Here's the thing, and it's reflected here in what we just read that Paul wrote. It can get discouraging. You know, it really can. You struggle to become a better person, and you try, and you're working to be a better person. And of course, again, as much as we understand that that's the point, it can get to be discouraging because sometimes it feels like we're not making progress. You are. If you feel right now like, you know, you've been doing this for years, you've been seeking the Lord for years, and you're not making progress, and you feel like you're not making progress, trust me, you are. You think you're not. You know, it's one of those you can't see the forest for the trees. You are making progress. I would be willing to bet that if you were to look back, say, 5 years ago, look at yourself 5 years ago and look at where you are now, you're actually making progress. Again, it may not seem like it, but you are. But it can. It can get very, it can be very discouraging. We have to always bear in mind that this struggle is why we're here. It's, I don't know why this popped in my head. And here I go. I'm probably going to get off topic right off the bat. We're barely 5 minutes in here and I'm going to get sidetracked. But I always remember one time I was flipping through TV channels and I saw one of these preachers on TV, you know, and this guy, you know, he was talking about it. He's kind of making a joke. Yeah. And I do humor. Y'all know that. Y'all been with me for a long time. Y'all know humor is what I do. I think humor is really a gift from God. I do. I think our sense of humor, I think our ability to laugh and stuff is a gift from God. But this guy was trying to kind of make light, but you know, by the time he was done, you could tell it was his own pride shining through. And anyway, this guy on TV, and this was many years ago, he says something along the lines. He was talking about, you know, all these people that come up here, you know, and they always got to talk about how they found Jesus, you know, and they came through being addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol. And every one of them, he says, they always come up here talking about, I found Jesus and he got me off of drugs and he got me off of alcohol. And he says, you know, well, I don't know nothing about that. I've always lived my life for the Lord. I can't identify with that. And he says, and as I'm recalling off the top of my head, he says, you know, I get a little put out with it because it's like, is this something you got to go through? Why, you know, I've never had to deal with that. I've always loved Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus. I didn't have to go through being on no drugs or nothing. And like that's a rite of passage or something. But I'm proud to say I've followed Jesus. I've loved Jesus since I was a little bitty boy. And I remember thinking at the time, and I understand, I was basically spiritually in diapers, to use a comparison at that point. And as I look back on it now, I'm thinking, you know, you can't help but to think, you know, bullshit. You know, I mean, somebody like that, you know, I don't trust because I know they're lying. Everybody struggles. I mean, sure, he might not have been lying about he's never struggled with drugs or alcohol, but that just means he's hiding his other struggles. Every single one of us struggles. A statement like that does nobody any good because somebody that's sitting there listening to that who's struggling and trying and doing their best, they're looking at this guy. This guy doesn't know anything about what I'm going through, you know? I really am failing because this guy, heck, since he was six, he's loved Jesus and followed him. Does that sound realistic? You're going to tell me, oh, this guy's never, yeah. Bullshit. Everybody struggles with sin. And sometimes it becomes a bigger struggle. Yeah, we make it a bigger struggle. We tend to, and this is what I wanted to get into, and like I say, you can go back and read the entirety then of Romans 7, and I think have the, it'll make more sense to you, and you won't fall into the trap of misunderstanding and tending to externalize it, because we sometimes when the struggle with sin and we're struggling to do better, we tend to make it an external struggle. I mean, we talk about, you know, we struggle with sin. It's like it's this other entity, you know? It's like there's this spiritual entity called sin, and we're wrestling with it. And sometimes we feel like we've got sin in a chokehold. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and sin's got you in a figure four leg. Got you in a figure four leg lock. You have a real bad day and sin is doing like a pile driver on you. And you're unconscious in the middle of the ring. We do this, you know, the flesh, we use these illustrations, and Paul uses them as well here, but we have to understand that they are just illustrations, they're metaphors. The sin, it's not an external struggle, and what I want to get to with this is to make this easier for you. If you're really, really struggling, you know, you're really, really struggling to overcome sin, and it could seem like... It can get to be, the struggle with sin can get to be like one of those, you know, those Chinese finger trap puzzle toy things. You know, it looks like a little tube and it's like an accordion. If you stick your fingers in each end, you know, you might have had one of those when you were a kid. The younger people listening being like, you are grandpa, but I'm not. You old. We don't even know what you're talking about, playing with tubes and stuff. But it was like this accordion-like tube, and you stick your fingers in each end, and the more you pull, the tighter it gets. You can't get your fingers out. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you do. And you're pulling. It's like, the more you pull, the tighter it gets. It's what the illustration Paul's using here. The more I struggle, the more I do good, the more I find evil is there with me, right there. The more I struggle to do good, the more I find evil right there with me. And it can get that struggle and get to be like a Chinese finger trap, and you're pulling your fingers. Of course, the answer is you just push your fingers together and it loosens up. And then, of course, you could slip your fingers right out. That's how the struggle with sin can get to be when you get so caught up in it and you're so trying to do well. And you know, your motivation's right and you're trying to do the right thing. But the more you're struggling, the more you're trying to do right, it seems like the more sin gets a choke grip on you. And you could start, you really will fall into this trap of external, like you've got this external, you've got this other entity. Temptation, sin, whatever name you give it, that is what you're struggling with, this thing, and I'm struggling with this entity known as temptation, this entity known as sin, this entity known as my flesh. And you're pulling on your fingers and it's just getting tighter and you're trying to do right, but then you turn around and it seems like now the more you try to do right, the more you get you're struggling with this temptation entity and this sin flesh entity, whatever you've given it a name. And it's getting harder and you're like, Lord, what's going on? Is it just supposed to be getting easier? Why does it seem like it's getting harder? Do you know the entity is that's making that difficult that you're struggling with? It's yourself. It's yourself. And we're going to make this. Bear with me on this. I'm not trivializing the struggle. I'm trying to put it in a way to where you can realize that the one who's making this difficult for you is you. At the end of the day, what you're struggling with is a decision. Yeah, I've said this before. Life really just comes down to decisions. And when things involve a decision that, you know, when things involve things that you can't decide and change the path, in other words, things with other people, things with the world around you, you know, no matter what decision you make, you're not going to change the world, you know, around you. You're not going to change, you know, what other people do. You don't have any control over them. You have control of yourself and the decisions you make. These other things that your decisions have nothing to do with because you can't control their behavior. You know, those are the things we say we leave in God's hands. We still have the responsibility for our own decisions. It's so important to step back, take a deep breath, step back, and realize you're not struggling against like some sort of other separate thing. When you get down to it, when you're struggling with sin, And this is hard. I mean, this is harder than it sounds, because you have to cut loose of all of the reasons. Well, I only the things you tell yourself. You know, I'm only struggling with that because of the way my childhood went, and it was really bad. And nobody's saying your childhood wasn't bad or dismissing that. Okay, that may be true. You know, that may be true, but you're not a child anymore. I only struggle with that because, you know, 2 years ago, my wife had an affair, ran off and took the kids from me, and I'll probably never see them again. And that's why I'm struggling with this other sin now, right now. I am struggling with it. No, that may be true, but the struggle is not because of this 2 years ago thing. You see, that's just the excuse. That's just the struggle is within yourself. When you get down to it, when you cut it, and like I say, this is hard because you have to cut out all of we stand with truth. You know, we talk about that a lot here. You know, here in the congregation, we talk about truth a lot and staying with the truth and trying to be a truth seeker and following the truth. I always like to talk about how Jesus said the center word Jesus used to describe himself as truth. We look to the truth. And in so doing, the hardest lies, the hardest thing to cut through is the bullshit we tell ourselves, the excuses, the justifications. We do this because I had a shitty childhood, and that's why I'm struggling with this today. See, at the end of the day, it's somebody else's fault. It's because my mom and dad were abusive, and this is why I'm struggling with this. Whatever reason you give yourself. At the end of the day, your struggle with sin, what's making it difficult is whatever level your desire is to do that sin. And that's a hard thing to face. Because you tell yourself all day, you might tell yourself all day, or maybe it's just on Sunday, that you love Jesus. Like the guy was just talking about on TV, preacher talking about, I've loved Jesus since I was 6 years old. And you're talking about how you love Jesus. And then you're turning around and you're wanting, you're struggling with something that is like the opposite of how much you love Jesus. And it's really hard to accept the fact, to accept the truth that you're struggling with is you're wanting to do that. You're wanting to do that sin. You can tell yourself about how you've loved Jesus since you were 6 years old all you want to. But the struggle that you're having is because you wanting to do this sin. It's not some external boogeyman. It's not Satan himself. It's not one of his top 10 demon lord, you know, demon legion generals that you're in a wrestling match or sword match with, whatever you imagine in your head. What you're actually dealing with is a part of your mind is saying, you know, I really want to go seek this sin for whatever reason that is, whether it's escapism, which is often the case with alcohol and drugs, whether it's escapism, whether it's just for the momentary pleasure, whatever it is you're getting out of that sin. And you're getting something out of it. If you weren't getting anything out of it, you wouldn't be tempted to do it. You wouldn't have a desire on whatever level to do it. And again, this takes humility. This takes humility because you're admitting that you're wanting to sin against God. And that's a hard thing to do. You want to come up with all these reasons. That's not. It's not really the case. It's not really the case. You see, it's because I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this thing. I'm struggling with this thing, but I'm doing it because I'm struggling for you, Jesus. It's really hard. Well, it's really hard because you really want to do it. You're trying to weigh out. In the back of your mind, what's really going on is you're trying to weigh out. Well, you know, if I go ahead and do that, you know, how does that play out? But I know I really shouldn't because I do love Jesus and I do want to follow the Lord. But man, I really want to go do this, or I really need to escape from the reality around me, or I really want to. It's hard to accept that. It's hard to cut through your own bullshit. It really, really is. It's a lot more comfortable to turn this into, well, you know, I'm in this wrestling match and this other guy is pretty dang strong and it's kind of a tie right now. The reason we're warned in the Bible against double-mindedness, because it leads to this misery. The more you're double-minded, the more you can't set yourself on really where you want to go, the more of a problem this becomes, more of a struggle this becomes. But if you can do that, and it's more difficult than it sounds. But the more you can quit giving yourself excuses, the more you can just look at it for what it is. And I'm telling you, this is what that struggle is you're trying to decide whether or not it's worth it to go ahead and sin. You're trying to decide whether or not, you know, you're making a decision. That's all it is. You're struggling with a decision. We don't want to think of it that way because we want to tell ourselves like the TV preacher, I've loved Jesus since I was 6 years old. I don't even know what y'all are on about. It's hard to sit there and say, really, I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to go commit adultery or not. We don't want to look at ourselves like that. We don't want to look at ourselves like that. We want to have a reason. Yes, I'm struggling with this. It's this big monster and I'm fighting with it. And here's all the excuses of why I'm fighting with it. And some of those excuses may be relevant at the end of the day. They're not relevant because really you're just trying to make a decision. Like I said before, your childhood or whatever the hell reason, you know, you've got. I mean, those may be real reasons. Those may be real things of why that is present in your life. But those things are not forcing you to do it. That's a lie. You're making the decision. You're trying to come up with that decision. Now, this is important because I believe if you can get yourself, we're told in the Bible, the truth will set you free. What does that mean? What does it mean, the truth will set you free? I want to be free, Jesus. What do you mean, the truth will set me free? How do I get free? This is what he's talking about. You got to cut through the BS you're telling yourself. You got to cut through that. Because if you can do that, if you can get to the truth, your fingers right now are turning blue because you're pulling so hard. And in the back of your mind, you're telling yourself that's because you're so righteous. You know, you're so righteous. That's why this struggle is so hard, is because I'm so righteous. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? Makes you feel a lot better to say, I'm struggling so hard because I really want to go do this sin. I'm trying to figure out some way, you know, if I struggle hard enough and then go do the sin, I can tell the Lord, we'll see, Lord, or I can tell myself and I can tell Jesus, we'll see, Lord. Yeah, I went and did that again or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't before I really struggled first. I just lost. You know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You know, I struggled really hard. Jesus, it's a decision. You're just struggling with your own decision. That's it. Now, your fingers are turning purple pulling on here. But if you can, the truth will set you free. If you can get to the point to where you quit lying to yourself and understand that this struggle is nothing more than you making a decision. And part of you really wants to decide, wants to go do that sin. That's it. A part of you really wants to go do that sin. If you can get to that point, then you understand that the one making this hard for you isn't some external boogeyman, isn't some other thing. It's you. And because the struggle can make you miserable. It really can. I don't think there's probably a single one of you listening to this that doesn't understand what I mean. The struggle, as you do strive, you do strive to want to be closer to the Lord, to live a better life, to be closer to Jesus. The struggle can make you miserable. And when it gets more intense and when you're really, really struggling, it can absolutely make you miserable. The truth will set you free. If you can get to the point to where you quit lying to yourself and you can say, wait a minute. The reality here is the only struggle going on is I'm trying to decide whether I want to go, you know, whether to go do this sin or not, whether to commit this sin or not. It's just me trying to decide that. Again, it's hard because you may go ahead and decide to do that and you can't go in with the excuses. Understand this. The excuses are irrelevant in the first place. You know, you don't face the Lord someday and then, you know, well, Lord, I've got this tablet of extenuating circumstances I'd like to present here. Those are irrelevant. Anyway, the excuses are a deception. The excuses are a deception anyway. You might as well face it head on. In other words, if you create this excuse in your mind of why you're going to commit this sin and put on this big show of your struggle, and then you go on and commit the sin, it ain't no different than if you're honest with yourself and, well, I'm really just, at the end of the day, I'm deciding whether or not to commit this sin or not. Whether or not my desire for this sin at this moment is stronger than my desire to try to be closer to the Lord, to do the way of the Lord. And you still, and with that in mind, you still decide to do that sin. The end result with the Lord is no different, okay? Your excuses, your justifications, the crap you tell yourself, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant anyway. So just cut through that and be honest with yourself. And because this is the freeing thing of it, okay? All of a sudden you realize, when you realize that the struggle, which is at some point, is going to make you miserable. It is. It's going to make you miserable because as Paul says, you know, the more you want to do right, the more it seems like sin is right there with you. It's like blocking your path. But once you realize that what you're dealing with is yourself, I mean, what you're dealing with is you're the one, not something else, not some other vague thing, not you. And then all of a sudden, this gives you another way to look at it, doesn't it? You might really think, oh, you want to do this sin because of momentary pleasurable or escape, whatever the reason. When you can be honest with yourself, then you can stop and say, well, whatever pleasure or whatever escapism or whatever reason, you know, this whatever I'm getting out of that sin. Is it worth making myself miserable over the struggle? I mean, is it really? Yes. I mean, I want to follow Jesus and whatnot, but just the struggle itself, you can make you physically ill from struggling so much with these things. And you ask yourself, wait a minute, is that momentary pleasure that I'm trying to decide whether or not to do? I mean, is it worth the way I'm feeling right now? Is it worth this? Is the payoff worth, this turmoil I'm feeling inside? And you very well might come to the conclusion, well, no, it's not. It ain't that great. What am I doing here? And you're free. It's just that simple. Wow. And you realize this is just you. And you're sitting there scratching your head and go, wait a minute. I've spent days sitting here like struggling and trying to do what's right. And you're telling me that the whole time this was just me? I was just struggling within myself with me. Yes. And this is the thing. This can make it easier for you. That's kind of the whole point. The more you struggle with sin, the more miserable it can make you. The more miserable it will make you. And again, at some point in time, you have to ask yourself, well, is the misery I'm going through for the struggle, is the sin, where it's a payoff, whatever payoff you're getting from doing that sin, is it worth that? I mean, is it really worth that? And if you can honestly then answer and say, well, no, it's really not, then guess what? You can free yourself of that struggle. You can get free of that struggle. And boom, it's just like the sun coming out. And you're like, wait, that is it? Yes, that's it. Because at the end of the day, it was you. It was you all along. We're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of it. Anything you might make your walk through this life a little bit easier. It's what we're here for. That I hope you got something out of it. Once again, thank you all for joining us. This week. I hope you'll come back. Join us next week. Hopefully it was good enough. If you're like a first time listener, hopefully you came away and said, hey, that's worth listening to again. So anyway, I appreciate all of you stopping by. Thank you again for those of you who pitch in and do support the show financially. It is very much appreciated. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week at this same time for the Parish of the Patriots.